How's it going, everybody? Y'all doing all right? Thank you. Thank you, my little people. All right. If you are new here, it's your very first time ever. My name is Greg Pinkner. I am the teaching pastor of Fellowship Church. I am not normally here, and so you should totally come back, because if a friend brought you tonight, you're going to go, "We're not friends. I thought we were friends, but we're not. How would you subject me to someone like him?" And there's no answer for that. This is going to be rough, because tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to engage in Greg's super helpful love and dating talk. That's right. The super helpful love and dating talk is, it's neither. It's not super and it's not helpful. I gave this talk to college students, I don't know how long ago, it was a while ago, and a dude the next day sent me the email about how he had planned to kill me. So I need you to prepare yourselves for what's about to happen here tonight, all right? Not really. I hope that you leave here very encouraged. I hope you leave here with some clarity, and I hope you leave here really, really understanding what dating can be and should be. And I hope that you leave here thinking about how you're going to approach it to help it be what it can be and what it should be. All right. So if you were here last week, Michaela taught and she talked about the Imago Dei. We are created in God's image. And if we are created in God's image, then there are things about our human nature that are true, regardless of if we believe it or not, regardless if we feel it or not. There are rules that apply to being human that are true whether we want them to be or not. But I want to go a little bit step further into if you believe in God or not, because the truth is this: if you are a Christian, this will be helpful. And if you're not, it's going to be so unhelpful, and so you are physically not going to be able to understand what I'm talking about tonight. Because I need to give you a bigger vision of God. The most important theological truth that you can learn is that God is the center of everything. So we sang the song, and in Romans chapter 15, the verse says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." So all things is all things, which means dating is to, for, and through God. Which is crazy to talk about. You're like, wait a second. You're telling me my love life is about God and his glory. That's exactly what I'm telling you. In fact, if dating is the path to marriage, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul talks about marriage and he says, marriage is a mystery. And I am saying it is about Christ in the church in Ephesians 5. He's basically saying marriage is an image of what Jesus and the church are doing to each other. They're very different, but they swear themselves to one another. And they're together forever. Like, that's how big a deal love, erotic love, is to God. It's an image of Christ and his church. Jesus told people, when you die, you won't be married anymore. Do you know why? Because you will be the church that's reunited with your actual groom, who is Jesus. You don't need marriage anymore. You have Christ. You have the image of what it's supposed to be. So dating, and when we talk about dating and we talk about God, and dating is for and through and to him, it's about him. Here is the number one rule. When you go in your groups, this is what I want you to talk about, okay? Because here's the problem with dating talks. Let's just talk about how terrible dating talks usually are. They either leave you like totally condemned, or they give you no practical advice. They're like all theory, and then you go, "But I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I get all the theory." Or they're all practical advice, but you don't understand why those rules are the way they are. So tonight, I'm going to give you theory and practical advice. It's going to be so much fun. All right, so number one rule. This is the number one thing you want to talk about tonight in your groups is this. What is the Christian's number one rule when it comes to dating? It's from Proverbs chapter 4. I'm sorry, I'm beatboxing so much. I'll put on a show later. It's from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life." Guard your heart above all things, for from it flow the wellsprings of life. The number one thing I hope I get across to you tonight about love and dating is this. Love was created by God and for God. He created humanity, said it wasn't good for them to be alone, and created love and attraction between them to ultimately be an image of what Jesus and the church are to each other. So you're like, wait a minute, you mean like I love my wife like Jesus loved me? That's kind of gross, Greg. It is gross, and it's going to get much worse tonight. Like, be prepared. It's going to get so bad. Okay, but you must guard your heart above everything. And the other thing you need to know is that the heart is deceitful above all things. Dating, and this is why you need to guard your heart. Dating has a 99% failure rate, right? Of all the people you date, you're going to marry one, and everyone else is that loser you were with for a while, right? So if you're like, I dated 37 people before I got married, right? You had a terrible percentage, right? So dating is not optimal. And it's why you need to take it carefully and be paying attention to what you do. Dating is going to end in heartbreak or marriage. Dating is going to end with you on fire or married. And some of you in here, I have always refused to do this talk to high school students. And I've only ever done it for college students because you need to live a little while to get what I'm saying. And the seniors in here are going to get this better than the freshmen because freshmen still believe. They're like, that's a hope's alive. Seniors are like, I've seen stuff, man. I've seen stuff, right? But I guarantee you, most of you in this room know exactly what I'm talking about. Take dating seriously because it's going to end in heartbreak or marriage, and it's going to end in heartbreak 99% of the time. So you need to be very careful and very focused on what you are doing when you are dating someone. And the number one most important thing that you need to be doing when you are dating is rule number two, only dating people you can marry. Only date people you can marry, right? So what do I mean by that? Well, I mean this and I mean the negative, which is don't date people you can't marry. Do you know what attraction is? Do you know what attraction is? Attraction is physical attractiveness, proximity, a compatibility of shallow personality traits and shared interests or goals. That's all it is. You're like, you just took all the romance out of everything, Greg, and we hate you, right? You will fall for people you're around. If you're around people, you're going to fall for one of them probably because it's about proximity, right? If you've ever gone to a summer camp for any length of time, you meet the love of your life and then you get on the buses and like 3 hours later, you're going, what was that about? They live in Chattanooga. Like, what was that about? You need to be paying attention to who can I pursue. If you are a Christian, you cannot date a non-Christian. You already fundamentally disagree about what is the most important thing in the world. If you say, well, I just want to hang out with them, have fun, guard your heart. What do you mean by that? Are you attracted to them because you sat by them in, you know, you sat by them in chemistry during this seating cycle this year? Is that going to be true in a year? Is you dating them and falling in love with them going to shipwreck what you want your life to be? Only date people you can marry. Because if you don't, you're going to have all kinds of issues. You have a spiritual need for another. Now, that other is supposed to be God, But sin has cut off our ability to deeply and intimately connect with God. And so God also wants us to be able to deeply and intimately connect with another person of the opposite sex. You need it. And your heart will scream for it. And it gets worse with trauma. The more trauma or pain you have gone through, the more your heart will seek a connection with somebody that your heart is lying to you going, they'll fix you, they'll fix you, they'll fix you. It's them. They're the ones who'll fix you. They won't. Know who you can date. Know who, where you are. Pay attention and guard your heart. You cannot date an unbeliever. There are people you shouldn't date because of where they are in life. Did they just break up with somebody? And are you like, this is my opportunity. Time to strike, Alpha Team. Like, is that where they are? Are you really dating them? Are their parents breaking up? Are they in deep trauma? And are they coming after you to be their salve? Guard your heart. I'm not talking about being cruel. I'm not talking about being mean. I'm talking about, do you want to be on fire one day? What do you see the end being? You must be careful. Okay, I'm going to tell you a funny story. This is like my favorite. This is my favorite Greg Pinkner dating story because it's awful. If you haven't figured this out, like if you're brand new and go, that guy like kind of hates life. You know me, my friend. Like we're right there with each other. So I, all through high school and middle school, I was always terrible with girls. Like if a girl who was even a girl came up and talked to me and was like, can you hand me that pencil? I'd be like, like that. And that's as smooth as it got. Like that was it. Like you're like, no, it wasn't that bad. That was me as a senior at my height. Like that was it. And so I go to college and I kind of, you know, start figuring a few things out. And there's this girl that I have a huge crush on. She is way out of my league, but she starts liking me. And so we go on a couple of dates and everything's going kind of good. And then one day she says, we need to talk. And like I had never really dated anybody, but I'd seen enough movies to know that's bad. This is a very bad thing. So she goes, we need to talk. And I say, okay. So we go back and we're in this, like on college campuses, the Baptist student unions have these buildings. We were in a Baptist union. So we go in the back room and she sits down and she goes, do you know where the Bible says we should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers? And that's in Corinthians. And I said, well, yeah. And I'm thinking, I'm a Christian. Ace that test. Count it. She's like, do you know where that says that we shouldn't be yoked together with unbelievers? I said, yes. I said, she said, do you know it says we shouldn't be unequally yoked? And I said, yes. And she goes, well, I think that means spiritually. But I also think it means intellectually. That is what she said to me. Now you know why I hate life. She said, you are too dumb for me to date. That is what she told me. Side note, they never found the body. That's a whole different story that I can't talk about yet. Be careful who you are around. Be careful who you could become attracted to. Guard your heart. Here's number three. This is where it starts going bad. Don't date to date. Don't date to date. What I mean by that is if you go on dates just because you enjoy the process of dating, stop. Because number one, you could be playing with someone else's emotions. You could be playing with someone else's emotions. And if you just enjoy dating to date, you enjoy using other people's attraction to you for your own benefit. And you're already doomed from the start. You don't need to be dating anybody until you figure out some things. The second group of people who date just to date are people whose self-esteem needs the affirmation of attraction and will do almost anything to get it. You have deeper issues that you need to be working on. Dating is not going to solve any of those things. It's just going to set somebody on fire who shouldn't have been set on fire by you. Or it's going to lead you into false senses of yourself, which will crash and burn one day painfully. Don't date just to date. Going out on dates for the sake of dates, for attention, these kind of things, don't do it. When I say dating, when you are in a relationship, boyfriend or girlfriend relationship, ask yourself this question. Do I love the way they make me feel? And do I love loving them? Do I love the way they make me feel? And do I love loving them back? Because if you can only answer that you love how they make you feel, you are using them. And you need to grow up and you need to realize you don't love them, you're using them. It's just as bad as using someone for their body and throwing them away, except it hurts a lot worse. Using people for your own emotional needs is a terrible person's gig. Do you want to just hang out with somebody? Then hang out. Hang out. Do you want to go out with somebody on the opposite sex and just go have fun somewhere? Then do that. You're going, but that's dating. No, it's not. It's hanging out. It's going to have fun somewhere. Be clear. Are we going somewhere to hang out or are we dating? Stop the ambiguity. Stop the ambiguity because you don't know yet and have an honest conversation, cowards. I'm talking to the guys. Well, I'll just hang back here and see what develops. Keep her on the hook till I know. I'm going to get to the next one. We're going to cover this more, and it's going to be much worse than this. Be clear. Are we dating? Are we hanging out? Demand it. Girls, demand to know what is happening. If he won't tell you, he's too immature to date anyway. Guys, be clear. If she won't tell you, if she's not being clear, she is too immature to date. Dump her. Cut them loose. Guard your heart. It can be radically clarifying to dump somebody, apparently, especially if they're too stupid to date. 4, don't date your friends. This is my favorite number. Don't date your friends. You're like, but my friends are who I'm around, and that's who I... Okay, what I mean by that. Can guys and girls be friends? Yes, they can be. They can be. Of course they can be. Yes, they can be friends. But there is a friendship that goes too far. There is a friendship that you call friendship where you are really dating. Be clear. Now, every time I give this talk, I'm going to say, hey, if you're best friends and you have been best friends for a long time, there is an abnormally high potential that one of you is in love with the other one. And now you're looking at your best friend you're sitting by. Like every time I do this talk, you'll see friends go, not us, not us. Here's the thing. If you've been friends with somebody for a long time and you go, I am not in love with them, we are just friends, then it's not you. Then it's not you. Again, guarding your heart and guarding a person you care about hearts is being clear. Are you just friends or is there something you need to investigate? The friend zone. If you are in the friend zone, tell them how you feel and break out of it. But I don't want to lose my friend. You already did. You're in love. Tell them. Tell them, how you feel. And if they do not feel the same, say, I need time to get my heart under control and I need some distance. You think, if I keep playing the game, it's the long game, man, it'll work. I have seen people break out of the friend zone. Since I became the college pastor at Fellowship Church in 2003, I've seen 187 million dating relationships and friend zones, and I've seen somebody break out of the friend zone twice. So good luck with that. I have seen lots of people say how they felt, the person say, I don't think of you that way. They cut off the friendship and cut off giving them all the benefits of a dating relationship with emotional and psychological intimacy. And then the person goes, I do love them. I didn't know it. Okay? You are torturing yourself for an opportunity that won't come. If you are in the friend zone, tell them how you feel and break out of it. And if you are somebody who has a friend that you know is in love with you, and you just think to yourself, well, I've always got so-and-so. And most of you are here going, I would never do that. And you instantly thought of who your person was right then. I've always got so-and-so. If you know that somebody's in love with you and you're keeping them around for the convenience of it, you are going to hell. I just want to say that straight out. You are going to hell. You're like, but I love Jesus. Jesus got me. Jesus is going, nope, they're gone. That's it. I didn't know about the whole friend zone thing where they were, yeah, no, they're gone. Guard your heart. If you are in love in a relationship, or you are in like, or you are in attraction in a relationship and you cannot reciprocate it, break the rules. Tell them. I'll lose them. You might for a little while, but you won't. You'll have clarity. And you can get your friend back when you have guarded your heart, when you have escaped the torment you are in. Know your weaknesses. Number five. By this, I don't mean redheads. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. You crazy people. That's not what I mean. Know your weaknesses. Are you somebody who gets physical too fast? You know. You know if you are. Are you somebody who gets too physical too fast? Then when you start dating, date in public. Go to the mall, sit in the food court, unless you're like, that won't stop me. Then you have huge trouble. Like, there's no, we have need intervention, you weirdo. You're like, Petro's at the mall, I'm ready. Like, no, no, no. Are you, do you get physical too fast? Do you fall in love super easy? Do you turn into attraction to head over heels like that? Know that about yourself and know when you need to get distance. Decreasing proximity will cool your feelings down. Get out of their sphere. Get out of that area. Guard your heart. What is your thing? Are you someone who, when you're stressed, tries to get physical? Are you somebody who knows that people like you but always keeps them at arm's length because you like the attention but not the intimacy? What are your weaknesses? Know what they are and guard your heart so you don't have to try to play on a tilted field where all your weaknesses are lined up against you. Know your heart, guard it. Live in the real world. Number six, live in the real world. All right. Your understanding of romantic and sexual love is wildly fueled by Netflix, by movies in the theater, by songs that you hear, by TikTok, right? And you have an image of love and dating that's not real. If you spend more time talking to the actual people in your life, you're going to go, that's weird. Like, none of the things that I think are happening are actually happening. Like, if I told you that the average age of the first sexual intercourse encounter of people in the United States, what age would you say? You'd be like, 13. It's 17. That's the average age, is 17. You're like, that can't possibly be true. Every person I see on TikTok has had sex by the time they're four. Like, no, they don't. Right? You have an image of what you are supposed to be in dating that's not real. You have an idea about men that's not real, or women that's not real. It's a cultivated media thing. What will get people to watch this movie or watch this video or watch this YouTube or whatever it is? It's not real. Let me give you proof. Let me give you some things that I hope give you some talking points and not drive you crazy. Number one, guys, how are girls physically attracted to men? I'm going to tell you about a study because it's fascinating. So they get a whole group of men and they get a whole group of women and they give them all these pictures with people in the pictures who are on the attraction scales from 1 to 10s. And they say, sort them. And so the men get all the pictures and they sort the women from 1 to 10s and they create a bell curve. You know what a bell curve is? Very few at the ends, lot in the middles. So lots of, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7s, very few 1s or 2s, very few 9s or 10s. They put them into a bell curve. Women take the pictures and they put the 10s at 10s and a few of the 7, 8, or 9s in and put almost all the men at 6 or under. So all women think we're almost all ugly, right? Then they take the same group of people, they take different pictures, they give them to the men and the women, and they take the same thing. They have a scale. And by the way, I volunteered for the one picture because I didn't want anybody to be upset. So I just volunteered for that. So they take the pictures, and then they tell the people a little bit about them. This woman is this. She's like this. This is what she does. This is what she likes. These kind of things. Men still rate them in a bell curve on attractiveness. Almost exactly right. And women put them into a bell curve. Because it is almost as important who you are to a woman as how you look. So if you're thinking, I got to get jacked. I got to look better. The reality is, if you work on who you are more, you will have more impact on how women see you than if you gain a point in attractiveness, because they don't scale like that. Now, I know the girls are here going, how do you know it, girls? I'm just telling the research. And also they're going, like if Henry Cavill walked in the room, like, I know what a 10 is. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's more impactful knowing about who is this person. What is his character? What's he like? Guys, if you think, oh, I've got to be hotter or I'm not going to get any attention, that's not totally true. Girls, I'll tell the story and you'll go, yeah, but see, guys, they do care. They do notice. They do. But it is not as important to guys as you think it is. I promise you. Guys will go for a cool girl who is not the supermodel before they'll go for the supermodel who is awful to be with. I promise you. It's true. You have to live in this real world. You have to kind of understand some of these things. Guys, do you want to know why nice guys finish last? Why do nice guys? This is the number one question guys ask me. Why do nice guys finish last? Number one, they don't. You are imprinted, girls. Oh my gosh. Okay. You are imprinted by early dating relationships where girls are immature and they don't have experience and they confuse arrogance and being a butt with confidence. And then as they get older, they figure out that's just a guy who's not a good dude. He's not confident. He's just a jerk. And that has imprinted on guys because they're like, the worst dudes we know date the best, all the girls. That's what's going on. Girls very much care about confidence in a guy. Doesn't mean you have to be arrogant. Doesn't mean you have to be. It means you are confident. It is a huge important thing to them. Why is it a huge important thing to them? It's a huge important thing to them for a couple of reasons. One, most girls, and when we say girls, please know there's outliers everywhere. If you walk into your groups and you're like, that's not how I am, there, it doesn't matter what you say, there's an outlier. There's always outliers. It matters to them because confidence is important to them because they don't like passive men. They do not want men who are passive. They want a man who knows what he's going to do, where we're going, these things, but is not arrogant or crushing. You're going to do everything my way. That's not it. There's some biology reasons for that I won't go into because it would hijack the whole thing. Guys, when you are dealing with a girl, realize this. Her need for communication is greater than yours. You have to talk about what's going on. You're like, but then it causes a fight. See, girls, in guys' world, guys' fights end up with fists. And so they're much more reluctant to get into a fight with people because you don't know what's going to happen. And they don't know how to emote it well. When babies are zygotes and they're forming, that they are almost always, they're female until they reach a certain stage, and then a wash happens and they turn male. When that happens, about half of the connections from the vocal part of the brain to the emotive part of the brain are killed. When you say to a guy, tell me how you feel, and he goes, I can't, it's because he can't. We cannot talk about our emotions the way you talk about your emotions. It's not possible. We can learn to do better. And guys, you have to put the burden on you to be more communicative. If you are in a relationship, the girl's always going, please talk to me. Tell me what's going on. All the time, it's because you aren't giving her what she needs. You need to believe that. But girls know this. If a guy goes passive on you like that, it's because he either doesn't know what to say or he is a stinking coward who's trying to get you to break up with him because he's too much of a loser to tell you he doesn't want to date you anymore. Deal with that passivity for about a day and then get out. And I mean situationally. Like if a guy's dad dies, give him, don't go, well, you won't talk to me, so we're done. Like, okay, you didn't misread that situation. That's not what I was saying. I'm talking about if everything's normal and all of a sudden he just goes, on you. Don't deal with it for long. Don't deal with it for long because he's just being a coward. Ask him if he's being a coward. See what happens. Let me know because I'm interested. The last one, and I know I'm going late on time. I'm going to go as fast as I can. I'm sorry. It's called a relationship for a reason. It's called a relationship for a reason. If you want to date and have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, it's called a relationship for a reason. If you don't have the emotional or situational maturity to not ghost somebody ridiculous, cowardly, if you don't have the maturity to tell someone you don't want to date them, if you can't set boundaries physically, if you can't, if you are unable to define what you're doing, hanging out, dating, just being friends, then you probably aren't ready for a relationship anyway. You probably aren't ready anyway, no matter what your heart is telling you. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Escapism is everywhere for you guys. You can be with a group of people and get on your phone and talk to people who are half a world away like that. Escapism is that easy, and it's ghosting into dating relationships. We were talking and then they just disappeared, and I don't know what that means. Right? I don't know what that meant. She was talking to me. She totally disappeared. He was texting me and then nothing. He's gone. You have to fight that. You have to fight it in yourselves. You can't control what other people do. You have to fight it in yourselves, and you can demand to not be treated that way. Know your value. Know that you are worth someone loving you. You are valuable. But if you're not ready, you're not ready. And if you're not ready, don't play with fire. Don't play with fire. So my wife, I was going on a long trip and my wife cooked me this dinner and a pan caught on fire in our kitchen. And I grabbed it and was going to take it into the garage because like the way our kitchen was right there because our smoke alarm, we didn't want it to go off because it was an alarm, blah, blah, blah. And as I'm walking, she moves toward me and I still don't know what she was doing. If she just had like a weird spasm, like if I was walking to the door with this flaming pot and she went, bah! Like, I don't know what. So I pulled back and all of it came onto my hand and my hand was burning and it burned through my skin. If you want to see a picture of it later, I'll show you a picture of it. It's amazing. I've broken multiple bones. I've torn ligaments. I've had multiple knee surgeries. I've had all kinds of junk happen to me. I have rheumatoid arthritis, so everything hurts every single day, and I've never felt anything in my life like that burn. You have felt it. You have felt the burn when you had someone dump you. You have felt the burn when your best friend disappeared out of your life because they found a boyfriend or girlfriend and dropped you like a habit. Like, done. dating has that high of a failure rate, it is worth your time to be careful.